This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
How about O-line? You're an ex-O-lineman. Do you feel like you know some things maybe that maybe another GM doesn't or have an advantage there?
Yeah, I think anyone that's played a position probably knows, the little details that they can pick up on to evaluate better. If it's offensive lineman and it's, you know, the interior guys and the mental quickness you got to have, you kind of look at the eyes and see how they adjust. Something goes away and then boom, they come back to something coming to them. So you can almost feel that from your own reps that you've taken. Which is important. But that's why, you know, you rely on all your scouts that have different, you know, expertise in different areas.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. That was Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager, on with PFT Live talking about free agency, which brings us to our next three guests. We're going to talk to somebody from Atlanta about Drew Dahlman, somebody from Indianapolis about Will Fries, and somebody from San Francisco about Aaron Banks. And all three of our guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. They join us on the Score Hotline, and we'll begin with Josh Kendall from The Athletic, who covers the Falcons. Josh, thank you for joining us this morning. Let's start with the main question in Chicago. What makes Drew Dahlman the best center available in free agency?
Well, I think he's a guy that, going way back, Arthur Smith, the former head coach of the Falcons and an offensive lineman himself, felt like was a steal as a fourth-round pick. Really liked his potential. And it was probably slower to develop than they thought it might be. But he's worked with Dwayne Ledford, who is widely considered one of the, you know, top third, at least, offensive line coaches in the league for a long time. And he's just a really solid player. He is not spectacular. I mean, I don't know that he's going to change your program, but he's a really good football player. And I think the Falcons are going to be pretty invested in bringing him back because they value consistency and continuity up front so much. But I don't know that they're going to make a blockbuster offer. So I think this will be a legitimate, you know, bidding war may be too strong, but a competition.
Josh, I'm so curious about the relationship between a center and a quarterback. Obviously, the Falcons had a rookie quarterback play towards the end of the year. Do you know anything or can you shed any light on what his relationship was like with Michael Penix and his development?
Good. Drew is a very, but I don't know that I would, you know, say special or unbreakable. But I'm not sure we know. Drew is a very private guy. He is not a big talker in the locker room. He's not a big sharer. He keeps everything to himself. Super intelligent guy. But I don't know that the Falcons would think we can't let Drew Dahlman go because of his relationship with Michael Penix. They've got a guy in the building named Ryan Neusel, a former UDFA draft, you know, developed guy, who replaced Drew a few games while he was injured last year. And they felt okay about the production. And Neusel and Penix spent a lot of time together because they were both backups early on in the year. So I think Atlanta feels okay about that relationship. It's this is not – Drew Dolman is a valued commodity in Atlanta. I don't think he is a sign-or-die guy for the Falcons.
There were some indications, and we're talking with Josh Kendall from The Athletic, who covers the Falcons down in Atlanta. There were some indications that Drew Dolman wants to stay with the Falcons because of that security, and also that maybe that was something put out there by his agent to create a little bit of leverage because he's going to sign a big deal. Does he want to stay with the Falcons based on your information, and is he worth as much as $18 million a year?
Boy, $18 million is a big number. I don't know. That's a big number. But I do think, I'm sure that anything his agent put out there is a negotiating tactic. That being said, I'm also sure he wants to stay in Atlanta. That's a really tight group in that offensive line room. They really like Dwayne Ledford. That core group, the starting five up front, has been together now basically for 2 full years. They get along. They play well together. They've sort of learned each other's intricacies. So, yes, I think Drew Dolman, all things being equal, would want to stay in Atlanta. If the Bears come to $18 million and the Falcons are like, we're not going above 14 or 15, then you've got to decide how much you want to stay in Atlanta, I suppose.
Real quickly, Josh, how much will the Kirk Cousins contract handicap the Falcons this offseason?
The money that they're going to have to commit to the salary cap for Cousins is basically going to be the same no matter what they do. A trade, a post-June 1 release, or keep him on the team, it's going to be around $40 million. It's $40 million that they had budgeted already, so it's been in their figuring. They're over the salary cap at this very moment, but they've got enough long-term deals and enough wiggle room that they can get to $25 million of space without too much trouble. So it's not like they won't be able to sign Dolman if they want to. They'll have the money.
Josh, thank you so much for your time. Josh Kendall from The Athletic with insight on Drew Dolman, the center for the Falcons, who is a free agent that the Bears likely will pursue next week. Let's go down to Indianapolis and bring in James Boyd from 107.5 The Morning Show, who can tell us all about Will Fries, the guard for the Colts. Good morning, James. Appreciate you joining us. We know you know the terrain with Bears fans. You're from Romeoville. You know the mindset of Bears fans well. Why should Bears fans want Will Fries on their offensive line?
I think it's because he's steady. One of the biggest things that he did this past season was just obviously protect the quarterback. And I believe he had a 4.1% pressure allowed rate last year, which would have been his career low had he played the full season. Broke his leg in week 5, which is always a weird term. He did not break his own leg. Someone else broke it for him. But, from what I understand, he's mending really well, no setbacks there. And from what I understand, should also command a good amount on the open market because it's not like an ACL or an Achilles. Bones tend to heal better than ligaments. And so I would imagine him being at full strength by the time the season starts.
Do you think the Colts are going to make a strong push to keep him? Obviously, he's only 26 years old, but that injury may hold some hesitation.
I think that they will make a big push to keep him, mainly because they're going through their own offensive line change. And another big name in the Chicago/Indy market is Ryan Kelly at center. It looks like the Colts might move on from him. And so I wouldn't imagine they also want to move on from their right guard, who's younger and probably a little bit better at this point in his career. So they'll make a push for him for sure, and it sounded like Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, wants to make him a priority in free agency, so we'll see.
Will Fries was a seventh-round draft pick in 2021. It sounds like a guy who has ascended to this point might be a try-hard guy, a good team guy, somebody who takes his commitment seriously and also may feel a little bit of an allegiance to the team that helped him become the player he is now. How much will that factor in potentially, James, into his decision in free agency?
I think that's a huge factor because, as you said, he kind of grew up, within this franchise, rose through the ranks, went from being a seventh-round pick, which was kind of a flyer pick, to being a guy who was a staple of their offensive line. And so talking to him at the end of the season, you could just tell it really hurt him to miss so much of the season. And the guys really respected how he still fought to try to come back as soon as possible and rehab and encourage the rest of the team. And so I would imagine that's a factor. But like with most things, money can change your loyalty. And so, if he gets a better offer from somewhere else, I wouldn't be surprised if he moves on. But I do think that the injury itself might have helped the Colts a little bit because they have his medical records. They know him better than anybody else in his body. And perhaps it makes him a bit cheaper than he would have been had he played the full season out.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you describe Will's locker room personality, his leadership style, what he is, you know, in the locker room, but also maybe on the field?
So he's a nasty guy on the field. Obviously, you love that. An offensive lineman, tough, gritty, and usually he's not out of position, which is always what you want to see from your offensive lineman. As far as personality goes in the locker room, he is boring, and I say that in a good way. Anytime you're not bringing him up too much, that means he's not messing up mm-hmm. when he's doing his job. But he's a pretty, you know, a guy that keeps to himself, not a, you know, a rah-rah guy from what I understand. But again, leads kind of by example, has earned the respect of his teammates, and obviously can have some fun there when they get in the end zone. I love to see that from the big guys because most of them are just like prototypical, you know, laid-back guys where you see some fire come out on the field. I think he has that element to him as well.
One more question for James Boyd, who covers the Colts for the 107.5 morning show in Indianapolis. So he's the other guard besides Quentin Nelson, because it's all about Quentin Nelson and has been for some time in Indy. Quentin Nelson's a nasty player, playing offensive guard and offensive line. Does Will Fries have any nasty in him?
Absolutely, yeah. I would say, you know, Quentin Nelson a little prickly sometimes. He's a little nasty with us. I'm like, man, I'm scared to ask you a question every now and then. He can be like that. I think Will is a little more approachable, but nonetheless, I do think he is someone who has sort of like solidified himself as a, you know, incumbent starter if he comes back to the Colts, and someone who could start on somebody else's team. So he'll command a lot of interest, I'm sure. I definitely think that he is somebody who has earned that interest because of his play level. And I'm excited to see what he gets on the market. I asked him about it at the end of the season. I said, hey, I understand you're coming back from the injury, but, you know, the market is going to be out there. You're going to be a free agent. But he was just saying, I'm trying to get healthy, and we'll take it from there and let my agent handle everything else. So assuming his agent is a good one, he should get a nice raise. You know, thinking of a guy who, you know, wasn't making very much these last few years to now being in a position where, you know, according to some websites you look at, I know SpotTrack has it at, you know, $14 million annually, 4 years, $56 million. And so I would put him somewhere in that $13 to $15 million range, you know, in the open market.
James Boyd, you did Romeoville proud. Thanks very much for your time. Let's go out to San Francisco. Evan Giddings covers the 49ers for 95.7 The Game. He is an expert on the 49ers and the offensive line situation involving Aaron Banks, the Domer, who was a free agent the Bears might pursue next week. Good morning, Evan. What can you tell us about the reasons why Aaron Banks would be somebody the Bears would want?
How's it going? Number one, cash. Aaron Banks has kind of priced him out of that San Francisco 49ers range, and the Niners have not really been a team that has, outside of Trent Williams, spent big on the offensive line. I think they've drafted pretty well beyond the first round. They've never really spent much high capital there, but they've been able to cobble together some pretty effective offensive lines for a top tier up until this season, rushing attack with whoever's been in the backfield. So Aaron Banks has played himself, I think, out of the price range of the San Francisco 49ers. That's why he's available.
What can you tell us about the injury? I know he was on injured reserve last season. What can you tell us about that and the recovery?
Well, Banks, yes, like a lot of the 49ers last year, was someone who got hit by the injury bug and then sort of just ended up, I think, kind of fading towards the end of the season. But this is a player that is 2 years removed from, I think, having one offensive penalty against him as far as holds go. So this is a good run blocker, solid pass blocker, and kind of a plug-and-play type player. Aaron Banks is somebody that, you know, the injury wouldn't necessarily concern me, especially due to his age, relatively young, coming up on that first contract. The injury is something that I would expect him to be able to put behind him.
According to True Media, in three seasons and 43 starts, Aaron Banks has allowed just two sacks and 14 quarterback hits. That sounds like a very dependable guy when healthy. Is that the big caveat, though, when healthy? Do you consider him injury prone, and do you think that is something that would maybe lower his price tag?
I don't know if I'd consider him injury prone, but I do think you're spot on. That's going to impact the price point that he's going to be able to command. We're not going to see this guy be towards the top tier, the top end, I believe, of the guard market, but just someone that the San Francisco 49ers, considering their cap situation where they want to allocate their money, where they've traditionally allocated their money, is not someone they're going to prioritize. So Aaron Banks is going to be able to make himself a pretty penny. I don't think injuries are going to play a massive part in regards to how teams see him and his availability in the future, but it absolutely could impact how much money he's able to command in the open market, should say the Chicago Bears want to bring him in.
Are the 49ers a team with enough cap space to be aggressive in matching any offer? Are they willing and able to, or have they accepted the fact that they're going to have to maybe, you know, lose some guys because this is a different offseason for them? They're clearing all kinds of money and room to sign Brock Purdy, who's going to get all the cash, apparently. How does this fit into their financial picture and how that might affect his availability?
Yeah, boy, Brock Purdy, that is Pandora's box. But as far as the San Francisco 49ers cap situation, I just don't think, even though I believe their issues lie in the trenches, you know, they're a team that's looking in free agency to try and spend a little bit more on the outside. They obviously just traded Deebo Samuel for a fifth-round pick to get off of money, and I think they need an extra cornerback now that Charvarius Ward is likely going to be gone. Rumors have it Asante Samuel Jr. is their top target there. So the money that they're right now allocating are either for their own, Brock Purdy. I also think that George Kittle is someone you can see get a contract extension this season, coming off back-to-back all-pro years. And then it's basically the rest of the pie is up to young Brock Purdy, which sounds strange enough, but he's going to get a pretty penny. So the free agency market for the Niners is relatively bare, but I would expect to see them dabble in the wide receiver and the cornerback market this offseason.
One more question for Evan Giddings, who covers the 49ers for 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. May seem like a dumb one, but we ask this all the time about quarterbacks and maybe running backs and even receivers to a lesser degree. The scheme and how much that brings out and accentuates certain talents in a quarterback, running back, or receiver. What about the scheme of the 49ers offensive line and their offense and how it affects offensive linemen? Is this scheme ideal for his skill set? And do you think that changing schemes, you might see a different player?
You're talking as far as the quarterback?
No, I'm talking in terms of Banks, Aaron Banks.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, as far as Banks is concerned, I think the Niners do a pretty good job of more with less. And it doesn't mean that their linemen have not been that talented. You've seen Mike McGlinchey go out and get paid. They've been able to get other guys big contracts in the past. But I do think that it lends itself to being, you know, more of a run-first offense. You're going to see a lot more talent there, say, from someone like Aaron Banks. They don't put as much pressure on them in the pass pro just because you also play with a fullback, which not many offenses do, and you have extra protection in the backfield. I think they do a good job of covering up their quarterback, as you mentioned, schematically. So where I would look to the advantages of the scheme offense as far as how it promotes offensive linemen, it would be running the football. You know, as far as pass protection, anyone beyond Trent Williams, in my mind, is a little bit of a toss in the air. Though someone like Aaron Banks has been statistically good during his time in San Francisco. So I think it lends itself to being more of a run-first type of offensive lineman.
Evan, thank you so much for your time and your insight.
Thank you, Evan.
Absolutely, anytime. Thank you.
Evan Giddings from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, along with James Boyd from Indianapolis and Josh Kendall from The Athletic down in Atlanta. All three guests joined us on the Score Hotline presented by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com.
That was so fun.
That was fun.
I loved that.
1, 2, 3. All three of those guys will be legitimate options when the Bears begin the process of pursuing them officially Monday, because the window opens Monday. Officially, I think you can start signing players Wednesday. And next week is the football flea market, as Dan Wiederer from the Tribune referred to it yesterday on the Score. And you better bring a lot of money, Ryan mm-hmm. Poles, because he's got a lot to spend, mm-hmm. but you have a lot that you need.
Real quick, one note about Drew Jalman that Josh brought up was his offensive line coach, Dwayne Ledford, who I have heard unbelievable things about this man as a coach, someone that is maybe on track to be a head coach one day just because of his leadership style and the group that they've put together there. I think that offensive line and everything that I've heard about that connection in that group, and he talks about him maybe wanting to stay there just because of that group.
Yeah.
Don't you dream of a situation like that here? Like, Dan Roshar, come on. Like, let's like get guys here that fit together, that mesh together, that can be well coached and developed. I mean, I just, as he was talking about sort of the vibe that they have in Atlanta.
Because the money can be irresistible. And I asked about $18 million because that's the top of the market. And I think that it's maybe unrealistic to think that Drew Dahlman could be that kind of a guy, but supply and demand, you don't know, and you don't want to be surprised by, boy, didn't expect him to be that high. He might go that high just because the Bears may be willing to go that high given their cap situation. But other things may factor in. You don't know how much he values that comfort you described and how much he wants to play for the team that you know has drafted and developed him.
Right. You just dream of a situation like that being developed, being, you know, in the process of making here. And hopefully Dan Roshar and Ben Johnson can get that show on the road.
It's a lot of fun and good insight. We'll continue to talk about free agency throughout the week as we get nearer to Monday. The Score is giving you a chance to win a trip to Florida for the ultimate college basketball viewing experience March 20th to the 23rd. Odyssey's Buckets and Bets at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Hollywood in Florida is your destination for tip-off weekend. So continue to listen. Enter now with the keyword BRICK at 670thescore.com for your chance to win. The keyword is BRICK, which is what you might see tonight or hear tonight as the Bulls chuck up three-pointers against the Cavaliers at the United Center. Listen anyway, it's going to be the Bulls and Cavs. But next, it's a Layla Tuesday. Layla Rahimi in here with Marshall Harris and Dan Bernstein. It's Mullin Haw with Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.